May be seated. I often return to Adam and Eve in the garden and meditate on their response to God after they sin. I do so because I think that encounter is so indicative of human nature. It gives us a very clear picture of how many people respond when confronted with their sin. You may recall when God confronted Adam after he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said to Adam, "Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" And what does Adam say? "The woman that you gave me, she gave me some of the fruit and I ate of it." Basically, Adam blames his wife and he blames God. And then God confronts Eve. And what is her response? "The serpent deceived me, and I ate of the fruit." Adam pretends that he is an innocent victim, and Eve as well plays the victim. Imagine the conversation that must have taken place back home between Adam and Eve after that took place. Eve probably said something like this: "I can't believe when God asked you about the fruit that you threw me under the bus like that." And you know what Adam's response was: "What's a bus?" Now here's the thought I have for you. Hell is going to be populated with innocent victims, while heaven will be jam-packed with guilty sinners, who, I should hasten to add, have confessed their guilt. There's a wonderful story from church history, or just history in general. It's about King Frederick II. He was an 18th century king of Prussia, and on one occasion he visited a prison in Berlin. When he arrived, all the inmates tried to convince him that they had been unjustly imprisoned. One said, "It wasn't my fault." Another said, "I was framed." Still another, "I'm innocent." Another, "I'm really a good person." Those were the kinds of remarks you heard all over the prison as the king walked through examining what was taking place. Everybody was protesting their innocence. All that is, except for one man who sat quietly in the back, not saying anything. The king was intrigued, so he asked the man, "What are you in here for?" "Armed robbery, Your Majesty." The king asked him, "Were you guilty?" "Yes, sir," he answered. "I entirely deserve my punishment." The king then gave the order to one of the guards, "Release this guilty man. I don't want him corrupting all these innocent people." That is the exact truth that Jesus conveyed on one occasion when he told the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. We find it in Luke 18, beginning at verse 9. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." And then Jesus concludes by saying, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other." As we gather together this morning, it's as though God is visiting us guilty criminals to see if we will confess our guilt and admit that we are sinners, or to see if we will foolishly protest our innocence and vaunt our goodness in spite of all the evidence to the contrary. And let me remind you, only those who confess their guilt will be set free and go home after church justified. This reminds us of our need to confess our sins, so let's do so now silently, remembering that our God is a gracious, merciful, and forgiving God.